Hey girl, hey, and welcome to another episode of That Real Housewives Roundup with me, Invincibly. Let's go on a journey as we discuss the latest antics of the Real Housewives we love, love, love. Today we're discussing the 11th episode of The Real Housewives of Dubai. Continuing from a heated dinner, a distraught Caroline was brought to tears by Ayan. Baby Bond Sergio came in to save the scene and his queen from the screaming, the shouting, and a failing sound bath. Sarah took Ayan along to hypnotherapy, where Ayan opened up about her horrific childhood. Let the healing begin. Let's discuss all this and more starting now on That Real Housewives Roundup. Namaste, bitches. Yep, I'll take that as an ode to our Jersey queen, Teresa, whose new podcast will be launching on September 21st. Will you be tuning in? Anywho, boo, we're back and continuing right where we left off last, on Uri Island, at that horrid dinner where Caroline and Ayan are still at it. So, after they had words, Ayan telling Caroline that she's more successful than her, Caroline had enough and excused herself from the table, cause shit is just going from bad to worse. Caroline has had it, she good, gets up and walks away with a very tipsy Brooks following her in order to stop her from leaving. What shook me was when Brooks found Caroline all teary at a table solo in a corner far away. Girl, Brooks was so lit. But she got herself and her heavy eyes together to tell Caroline not to end this trip on a bad note. And just to pull herself together and not to engage. Y'all, I'm just still surprised that we got to see a distraught Caroline, not only in tears, but girl was sitting there, smoking, puffing away. LVB style. Must be a British thing. Over at the dinner table, Ayan is still on a rant over Caroline, asking her if she runs a business. Girl is triggered AF. Nina, the alleged BFFN from Switzerland, decides to join Caroline and Brooks, and Caroline is now pissed, cause her BFFN that was supposed to stick up for her was just sitting there, on mute, seriously playing her role as Switzerland. Like the fuck? The best part was right when Nina was trying to say her piece, Caroline interrupted her and goes, "Oh Nina, now you have a voice?" Who shooketh? I'm sure Nina was as surprised as we were to be getting the Stanbury smoke. Inject Caroline. Shake that Nina a little. Over at the table, Lisa is also trying to get through to Ayan by telling her that they know that Ayan is more successful than Caroline. Child, that Lisa is just subtly adding fuel to this bonfire. Next thing, Lisa is comparing Ayan on the pages of Vogue to Caroline's Instagram pages. The shade of it all. But, like Caroline said, she's worked very hard to get where she is, and we see Caroline's drive and hustle, and that's why Ayan is so bothered by her, even if Ayan wants to believe she's the most successful at the table. So now, Ayan decides that yes, the mood is off. Lisa, on the other hand, ain't really bothered. She just wants to have more fun. So she sends Ayan to fix the mess by apologizing to Caroline. And off she goes to a Caroline that is not in a space to receive Ayan. Caroline saw Ayan approaching and couldn't get away fast enough before peacemaker Nina cleared the space from everyone else in order for Ayan and Caroline to have a conversation. Ayan started with some mess about them both being successful and them working on their relationship, whatever, and then she sucks up to Caroline by thanking her for the opportunity for bringing them on this trip. Girl, that Caroline didn't receive anything that Ayan said. The pleasantries went over her head. Caroline is just hearing a load of blabbing and stops the mess by telling Ayan that she's rather going to leave and sleep it all off. The end. Sarah tries to intervene again by telling Caroline to listen to Ayan, but Caroline states no. Issa, no. The end. And off she goes, champagne flute in hand.
I don't understand why she's asking me what I do when she clearly knows what I do. So it bothers me that she keeps asking me what I do and she knows I'm very successful. But I did my part by saying, hey, I'm sorry. Thank God I'm not in the 1800s. I made a white woman cry. I will not be here.
Nina is now the one running after Caroline and joins her as she's off to their mansion. This is giving the remaining girls an opportunity to discuss the chronicles of Nina. Because a moment ago, Nina couldn't defend Caroline, but now she's the one running after her. Brooks is very vocal about it. She makes it clear that she doesn't like what Nina did. Lisa throws it out there again that Nina is the root that caused a rift between Caroline and Lisa. Yet Nina is now Caroline's BFF. The girls are as lost as I am.
Nina is a social climber, but I don't know how far she thinks she's gonna get trying to climb a little white picket fence.
Say what now? Not a white picket fence. All the ladies had enough of this mess and also decide to go back to the mansion, where a very emotional Caroline is laying on the bed, crying on the phone to Sergio. She was definitely working for those tears, girl. Sergio is now also distraught, as you can only imagine. He hates seeing her like this. But over in the other bedroom, Ayan is now ranting over not having pajamas, cause someone said that they are bringing her a Mina Rose set and didn't. Child. Ayan, Sarah and Nina gathered and are all comfy and now chilling in the lounge, and Sarah urged them to talk it out. How much more talking can they do? Nina decides to have a word and tells Ayan how she was looking forward to having fun, but lost her appetite and then some other weak excuses, but Ayan shut that shit right out. Like, hey, don't make this about you, Nina Rowe. Lisa injects herself and tells Nina, point blank, that her issues about Caroline stems from Nina and the things that Nina has said about Caroline to Lisa. All of this mess is making Lisa wonder if Nina intentionally badmouthed Caroline in order to cause a rift between them, so that Nina can swoop right in and be Caroline's esquisa. Keep an eye on Nina, girls. But hey, Nina is not denying this shit, but rather saying that Caroline is her friend now, and she's hella here for this friendship, Switzerland and all. The girls are so over it. And Ayan tells the girls that it is shisha time instead. They refuse to end things on a bad note and got comfy outside to smoke their hookahs, which is readily available anywhere in the UAE. And that's one of the great things about this place. It's now the next morning and Caroline is all cried out and in work mode. Hey, the show must go on, right? Caroline is on the phone with the team, who is busy moving her out of their house, since it's sold. The new house in Albarari is still being built, so she's moving into a penthouse apartment for the time being. Lisa and Brooks are in the other room discussing Ayan, and they're discussing the misconceptions about Ayan, who is being put in a box for being a model. Lisa is revving Ayan up about being one hell of a multifaceted model, and Brooks thinks that it would be a good idea for Ayan to relay this to Caroline, for Caroline to have more insight, and maybe, just maybe, this would bring a little more peace between the two of them. But child, here goes Lisa, throwing in the race card again. We find Ayan over in her bedroom, no gin in the room this time, on the phone with her hubby Chris, while packing up, cause girl is ready to go home. Ayan tells Chris about the previous night's dinner. She tells him how Caroline told everyone how much money she makes the moment they sat down. And again, she goes on a rant, saying that Caroline asked her what she does. Like, what the fuck? Ayan really just hears what she wants to hear. Here is girl again, giving us her entire resume. being a big model, booking models, musicians, dancers, whatever you want. Ayan will let you know that she can supply it, even if it's a house, because she is connected. She's a boss. A model boss. Chris is trying to motivate her, and here she's breaking down again, feeling very frustrated. But what threw me was her drying her tears with the damn ostrich feathers. Child. Outside, Nina is in her element. A soundbath ceremony has been set up, and everyone is in attendance. They're in need of this. They need peace and tranquility to be able to move on. Some are more excited to be there than others. Then there's Brooks, telling that there's bees around her and she's hella allergic, frantically looking for her EpiPen. We see you, Brooks. Eva, the sound healer, is out here singing, chanting, doing the most, while Brooks and her Badwick is fighting off imaginary bees. Next thing, they're forced to drink heart medicine, which is bitter cocoa, and this is just the shit, breaking the camel's back. Brooks ain't here for it.
I don't want bees crawling up every inch of my body.
Bees on me again.
I don't want to lay in the grass and listen to people saying namaste.
Sarah is zoned the fuck out by the sounds of the sound bath, and while the others are trying to stay with the program, they hear mayhem. On the waters, waves crashing, engines revving. Brooks jokingly told Ayan that Somalians came to get Ayan. And just like in an action-packed movie, or just Sex in the City, in comes our Sergio on a jet ski, just like James Bond or Baby Bond, interrupting their moment of meditation and calm. We knew it was all too good to be true. Girl, it's a half-naked and wet Sergio, doing the most on that jet ski, showing off his skills, but most of all, coming to the rescue of his queen. Girl, I was hollering, you can't make this shit up. Bond music and all, they did that. Caroline and Brooks ran down to the beach to meet Sergio, and yet, they were the only two who cared. The energy back at the soundstage shifted completely. And the other girls are now pissed. Here we go again. Eye roll. Ayan being the first to flee and walk off. Pissed, since none of their husbands are there. Lisa claims that she don't want that male energy around. But Sarah is here for all of that. Wanting to know, where do they make men like that? 'Cause chivalry is dead. Over in Ayan's bedroom, Ayan, Lisa and Brooks congregate. All teary over the fact that Sergio stole the show and feeling like her feelings are less valid than Caroline's. And once again, they play the race card, Lisa being the most vocal about it. She's looking for something with Caroline. She's reaching. Outside, Caroline is feeling like a weight is off her shoulders while she and Sarah enjoy jet ski fun with Sergio. He definitely brought the fun back, while Nina is cheering them on from the sidelines with no fries in sight this time. Later that day, all the girls meet outside to have a final toast of champagne before they all went back in to pack up. These girls are ready to get the fuck off Nurai Island, and as everyone leaves, Ayan feels it in a spirit to ask Caroline to talk yet again. Here we go. Caroline says straight up that this weekend has shown that they are just not for one another. She good. Ayan explains her statement about being more successful than her. Her resume comes back on the table again and says how very proud she is of who she is. And Caroline states that whenever she takes a step forward with Ayan, they go 10 steps back, which is true. Caroline says she's been sticking up for Ayan and understands the fact that Ayan had to fight for where she is today, but Ayan just can't listen. Caroline put it on Front Street that she's tired of Ayan trying to put her down whenever Ayan wants to raise herself up. But my best part was when Caroline brought the infamous housewife's apology, saying, "I'm sorry if you thought that I said something which I didn't." Somehow it clicks to Ayane that what's been said the previous night has been interpreted wrong, and she apologizes for that. But here goes Caroline again by saying, "I'm sorry that you feel that you have to fight your corner every time." Girl, Caroline was made for this. This ain't a first rodeo. Caroline tells Ayane to be less defensive, and Ayane receives it. They cheers to that. Then Ayane, in her dramatic red dress, gets up and flings the champagne flute right over into the Nurai salty waters. Dramatic. And on that dramatic note, I need to take a break. BRB. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of That Real Housewives Roundup. Join me each week as we discuss the latest antics of the housewives we love, the Roundup reviews, and my personal favorite, the Leanne Rimes. Go on, subscribe to this podcast, and engage with me on all socials at Real Housewives Roundup. Don't be tardy for this podcast party. Now, back to the show. So, everyone left Nurai Island in one piece, and they're back in Dubai. We are now at Caroline's new penthouse apartment, where she and Sergio are unpacking while discussing the whole IVF process that they're currently going through, doing hormones and injections. Caroline tells how hard it is for women to go through this and challenges Sergio to try it out. Now we've seen a whole lot of silly scenes from these housewives, and the next one is up there with the worst. Caroline is now fixing a watermelon to Sergio's stomach, and melons as boobs to his chest. They wrap the shit to him and makes him walk around like that. Like the fuck. Gosh, he has to really love her much for him to agree to this shit in front of cameras too. So there he's sitting with a fruity pregnancy, and before you know it, a guest walks in. A very dressed up Brooks walks in and screams when she sees Sergio sitting there. She's dying with laughter. But she says that she's definitely laughing at them and not with them. Brooks came to check in with Caroline after all the drama on the girls' trip, and Caroline states that she is basically sick of Ayane's antics and says that Ayane always uses her language barrier as an excuse for her rudeness, which is ridiculous at this point. And when she wants to understand something, she fully understands. Facts. Caroline also states that she's given Ayane many chances, and whenever she gets comfortable with Ayane, something's bound to happen, setting them back. Y'all, here's where Brooks spoke truth. Brooks says that Ayane is easily influenced, implying that Lisa is pulling Ayane's strings. Lisa is the one being the brains behind this operation. Somewhere downtown, Ayane and Sarah meets up at one space. Girl, after this trip, Sarah took matters into her own hands and took Ayane to a hypnotherapist. She's adamant to getting Ayane real help. Things definitely need to start improving. Ayane is excited to be there. She also wants to see positive change within herself, which is a good thing. They meet the therapist Peter, starting off with light chatter. Peter asks what Ayane is here for, and Ayane gives a little backstory and tells of how envious she is when she sees her son's relationship with her husband Chris, because that's very foreign to her since she's never had that relationship with her own father. Peter asks a few background questions before narrowing down to ask Ayane what she could remember from her childhood, from when she was born to when she was 5 years old. Girl, shit became real hella fast. Ayane tells of living with her mother, her father, her brothers and sisters in a remote village on the border of Kenya and Uganda. She remembers a lot of crying from her mother, which made her so sad and teary since the memories of the beatings and pain came back to her, and Peter promises to work on that. They move on to Ayaan's memories from age 5 to 12 years old, and this, my friends, this was so unexpected and so, so sad. Ayaan remembers that at just 5 years old, she and her sister were taken away by her aunt and her grandmother to another town. She didn't know what was going on. She didn't know shit. She was just 5. All she remembers is that she and her sister were being taken to a man's house, where they got tied to a bed and then got circumcised. Just like that. I mean, what a horrible, traumatic experience for a 5-year-old to endure in a foreign place without a safety net around you. Your mother not even knowing where you are. No wonder this woman is so emotionally scarred. That was hard. At this point, Ayaan is crying uncontrollably. Girl, Sarah didn't know what hit her. I know Sarah knew that Ayaan had it tough, but never expected it to be at this level. Ayaan tells how they just got tied up, even when they wanted to pee. They were just placed on the grass, just like that. Horrific. Ayaan later on explained that when she was ready to get married, she actually had to go to a doctor to open it, cause she was sewn shut. Like, what the fuck? Damn, Ayaan just opened my eyes to a whole sick world that's still out there. Absolutely sick. These horrible people's motivation at the end of the day was money. She got shown clothes so that her dowry price could be high once she gets married. How fucked up is that? Disgusting. To start your life with such sadness is really cruel, torturous, and fucked up. The worst part is that it's still happening, and I'm glad that she's raising awareness to this mess. We've heard before that Ayaan almost got married off, and now we get deeper into it. So at 13, she reconnected with her father, and at 14, he was ready to marry her off. But the blessing that her sister had alerted her of what was going on, alas, she got away. They're now ready to start the hypnotherapy, and Sarah says that Ayaan needs this to close this horrible chapter in her life. Ayaan and Peter goes into the next treatment room, where Peter is now administering the hypnotherapy, after which Ayaan says that she's already feeling lighter, and she will continue to do this, because these people that did these awful things to her doesn't have power over her anymore. Good on you, Ayaan. Ayaan meets Sarah after the session, who instructs her to go back home, relax, and listen to some relaxing classical music.
I want to take a nap, have some
Put on some like classic music. Just let loose.
Yes, yeah. Or Nicki Minaj.
No, don't put that right now. Yeah, I
know. Child. She wants to listen to Nicki Minaj. Ooh, she's back, y'all. She survived. Girl, next week is the 12th episode, the season finale, where the girls take a trip to the northernmost emirate and one of my favorites, Ras Al Khaimah, where they're doing camels and couture. They also do a little belly dancing in the desert before Caroline and Lisa finally get into it. They have words, honey. We also get to explore Caroline's IVF journey. Yep. She brought the cameras along for the egg retrieval.
Do you think I'm negative?
For me, yes, you were.
At a certain situation that happened?
Yeah, when she called me poison on the group chat.
And you call me messy.
Because you are.
With that said, it's time for a Leanne rhyme. Hit it! What started as a tranquil girl's getaway continued into a holiday of horrors straight away. Switzerland Nina got checked by the Stanbury smoke. Caroline taught her a valuable housewife's lesson, so stay woke. Lisa is out here playing a messy game, being the puppet master. But Ayaan is too blind to it, creating more and more disasters. Let's say a prayer for the ladies to get it together already. This neuro escape was filled with drama, fights, and a teary Stanbury. But alas, Sergio came in to rescue his queen. Confetti! Bye, bitch.